There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Another way to send us your ghost stories that we may use on a future episode of the program. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I had leftover barbecue meat for lunch.
So you have heartburn.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those things where yesterday was kind of, because we had that for dinner last night, and it was kind of a double whammy where I never used to get heartburn, ever.
Yeah.
It was like rare. And if I did, I don't think I even knew what it was. But now it's like very identifiable. And so at lunch, I had something that was called spaghetti pie, which is, I'm sure, just right up there on health food right next to kale.
Yeah.
And kind of got it after that, and I'm like, okay, it's kind of calmed down. And then we had that, the barbecue, and then I had it right back. I'm like, is it lunch coming back and get to attack me? Or no, it was just the second round of poor choices by Tony. And yeah, I feel it again. I'm like, oh, it's so tasty. Why is it that everything that's so good and tasty just doesn't agree with us as we get older?
I don't know.
You know, it's just, that seems to be, I could eat mounds of that stuff when I was younger. Not that I'm that old, but I'm talking, you know, early 20s, teens, in tons of it. Now it's like, since like mid-30s, it's like, good luck.
Maybe it's nature's way of telling us we need to eat better.
Maybe I should heed that warning.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just, and I don't eat a whole lot during the day, so anything that I do eat very much affects me. And, yeah, it's affecting me. Violin right there, kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of perfect
the,
for
the
whining.
Sob story of Tony's lunch. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's get our first caller today. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Kent. I'm not going to tell you the state because I have to use some names in this story because they're relevant. I'll obviously exclude last names, but I'm sure that if you search the certain names that are used in the story and the state, you'd probably find something. So, anyway, this isn't a traditional ghost story, really, in the sense that there's not technically a ghost. This is more about synchronicity and just weird coincidences. I thought maybe you guys would appreciate the story. So, the house where I grew up had a family before us, and they had a son named Jack. And Jack was a sergeant in the U.S. Army, and he fought and died in Korea, in the Korean War, specifically. This was particularly relevant to my family because there are three kids in my family, and we're all adopted from Korea. And so we'd grown up kind of hearing about this kid, or what my parents knew at least, which was, you know, he was a soldier and he fought and died in Korea. He fought for both of our countries. And we thought that was kind of cool. So my little brother comes along, the youngest of our family, and my parents decided to name him John. But they decide also to name him Jack, or call him Jack for short, basically. And I remember we kind of were joking, like, ooh, like the Jack in the house. And my parents were like, no, because Jack is short for John, which didn't make sense to us a lot as kids, obviously, because we're like, they're the same amount of letters, and they don't sound anything alike. But my mom cited John F. Kennedy as an example of Jack, who was really John. And so we kind of just accepted that and moved forward. Anyway, one day, the family from before, or the remaining members of the family, were in town, and they decided to come by. And so they knocked on the door and said, hey, we're the family who lived here before you. And we were wondering if we could come in and kind of see what happened to the childhood home. And my dad is fascinated by, you know, the local history, history of, you know, homes, things like that. And so he was like, oh, please, you know, come in. And he wanted to hear about, you know, what each room was, what it looked like then. Just really, he found it all fascinating. And so, you know, we invite them in, and we are all introduced, you know, here are kids. And they get to my brother, and they said, this is our son, Jack. And, you know, the other family said, oh, well, that's really cute. And they said, well, you know, but he's not like the Jack before. His real name is actually John. We call him Jack for short. And the family, the other family, said, well, that's pretty funny, actually, though, because our Jack was actually named John. We just called him Jack for short. My parents didn't know that, and so they thought, well, that's kind of bizarre. It's a funny coincidence, you know, but our son's name is John Lewis. And that's where the other family said, well, that's even more bizarre because our Jack was also a John Lewis. The only difference was the spelling. My brother uses the French spelling L-O-U-I-S, and their Jack used the English spelling L-E-W-I-S. But still, those are two John Lewises who are called Jack in our family, or in our house. So at this point, my parents are like, okay, that's a pretty weird coincidence, but, you know, things happen, whatever. So we continue up to the upper level, and, you know, we're little kids at this point. It's like the early 2000s, and we're showing them our rooms. And my mom was always into themed rooms, so all of our rooms had a different theme. My brother's room's theme was airplanes, so there were airplanes all over his room. So we get to their room, and he says, you know, here's my room. And the family that's visiting says, well, that was also our Jack's room, which my parents had no idea about. And they went, well, that's pretty weird. And the other family said, and it's also weird because our Jack flew planes in Korea. In fact, his plane went down in Busan, and that's where he died. At this point, my parents, I think, were done hearing about the history of Jack, because, as it turns out, my little brother was actually born in Busan. So that's my story about weird synchronicity. My little brother, I think, might be sensitive in some senses. He had night terrors as a kid. He hated sleeping in his room. He always felt like people were watching him. He's gone to our local haunted cemetery in our area, and he actually reported seeing things and feeling things and having, like, things happen to him while he was there. He's also claimed to see, like, creatures and things out when walking the dog at night. He's a real paranoid guy. He hates being in this house by himself because he's convinced there's things in it. My dad thinks he's nuts. Maybe he's sensitive. Who knows? So, I'll let you guys listen to that story, I hope. I've been listening for like a couple years now. I love this show. It's a lot of fun. So, thanks, guys, and take care.
I think it's too much to be coincidence. Especially when the kid was born in the same town where the last Jack died.
There's things like that happen in life, and I think there's a lot more of it that exists in life in general. I just think it's very rare that anyone ever gets the ability to connect those dots because they're just the odds of those dots being connected are so slim. But every once in a while it happens and you hear a story like that. But I think those dots, for lack of a better term, are out there for a lot of people. Is it everybody? I don't know. Maybe. But it's just the odds of that happening are slim.
Yeah.
You know, in our eyes, just because of the chances of those dots being connected.
Right.
So that's cool. That's
I like that.
That's really neat to hear that. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, Brewskis. This is Julie from Northwest Ohio. I found your podcast roughly 2 months ago, and I have been addicted ever since. I love you guys. You guys are fantastic. And I just love the spin that you put on the things because, you know, as I've always been very aware of my surroundings and intrigued by the paranormal, I'm also terrified of it. you know, it's the unknown. And to be honest with you, I wasn't going to become an EPP at first because you guys kept saying how they're the more spookier stories, and I really like the uplifting ones. I don't mind a good, you know, scare every now and then, but I have decided that I am just so addicted that I cannot. I'm definitely going to be getting an EPP membership next month for my birthday, so I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, so sensitivity runs in my family. Lots of my aunts and uncles, and even my mom and my dad, and my sister, and even my almost 5-year-old daughter has had some things happen to her. So I'll call back and you know, explain some more things that have happened. But the reason it took me some time to make this first call is because it's really overwhelming for me to figure out where to start, because there have been so many occurrences. But I'd like to start off with a couple dreams that I've had. The first one happened when I was about 17, and it was the day after my uncle had passed. Now, I was pretty close with my uncle. We always had a special bond, and he had this nickname for me that I absolutely hated, but I would let him call me that because it was his special name for me, and nobody else was allowed to, and nobody else did. So, you know, it was pretty devastating whenever I got the news that morning. So, anyways, I had a dream one night, and I remember being in a room that was pretty open. The floor was concrete, and it really wasn't brightly lit, but it wasn't like an ominous feeling in the room. I remember there was like a water heater in like one of the corners, and there was a basketball hoop. Now, I know that seems odd, but there's some significance to that, at least I think that there is. In the dream, he was wearing this button-up, grayish button-up short-sleeve shirt with, like, something on the left upper side. It was, like, a patch that I couldn't read, and he had some black faded jeans on. And I don't remember exactly how he appeared, and I didn't even see myself in the dream. I just saw him in this room. And he did this thing. He's standing in front of the basketball hoop, and this part's kind of hard to explain because it's like this move that he always did, and it's like where he stomps his foot and he like puts his hands out and he does his distinctive laugh that he always does, and right before he laughs, he says my nickname, and he's just smiling, and I just feel happiness and warmth, and it's just so vivid. And that was basically it. I didn't say anything to him, and he just did that one thing, and I woke up, and I was so excited. I wanted to go tell my dad about what had just happened, and, you know, I'm telling him, like, you know, everything he's wearing, and, you know, what he does, and my dad's just kind of smiling at me. And my dad was actually one of the ones to, identify his body after his death, and he was like, Julie, he came to say goodbye to you, because that's exactly what he was wearing whenever he passed. So obviously that gives you chills. And the basketball hoop has significance because we always used to play. That was our game. We would always play basketball together. So I think that's pretty cool. And I think that he was letting me know that he was okay. Cause like I said, it hit me pretty hard, when he did pass. I think he was just telling me, hey, I'm all right. So I thought that one was pretty cool. The next dream is actually not as pleasant. And actually this is the reason I decided to send this, call in, because, I was listening to one of your episodes titled Woman in the Woods that was aired on May 31st of 2017. And you guys asked if anyone had ever had a family member who's passed, come to you and almost be like warning of the other side or whatnot. And so I may have had this happen. I don't know. I would really like to get your thoughts on it, but this is about my grandmother. She was 92 and she had developed dementia in her last months of her life. So, you know, didn't remember. It was pretty bad, but it was her time.
There really wasn't much this dream, but I just remember feeling sheer horror. Like, I saw her face, and she was younger, but she wasn't, like, really, like young adult. She was when I was growing up, and her face, it was her, and she's dressed in all black, and she's, like, wrapped in, like, this black headdress, and she's reaching out for me, and she's, like, her face almost looks like the drama mask face, the sad one, you know, but she's scared. Like, I just feel scared, and it was just horrifying. And I remember waking up, and I didn't have that good feeling. Like, it was just so scary, and nothing was said, and obviously I didn't say anything. But the thing about this is, my grandma she was the most loving, kind. She was always singing, and she was always cooking you food, and she was a strict Catholic, and she went to Mass all the time. I mean, multiple times a week, and she's the last person that you would ever think would be in distress on the other side, you know? So that's what really scares me about this. I'm hoping that it was just a nightmare and not, like, my grandma, like, telling me that she's not in a good place or not happy. I don't know, but I would like to hear your guys' thoughts on that. And like I said, I have many other stories that I can call in with. But thank you guys so much for doing what you do. You guys are awesome. I hope to hear this. I hope you guys have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Okay, I think the uncle was coming back for a visit,
mm-hmm.
to say goodbye or to let her know that he was okay. I don't necessarily think that was the grandmother, though, because the grandmother looked different than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And when the uncle came back, he came back basically looking like the day he died.
Sure.
Minus any injuries or whatever. But the grandmother came back looking different. And I'm just kind of suspicious about the grandmother dream, that it's not really the grandmother, that was just a nightmare.
A nightmare, or like really something dark trying to get at her, or just a nightmare?
Could be either one.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it was the grandmother, though.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I wonder how often, if there is somebody that's coming back or trying to give you a message, and it's not necessarily that they're in distress or anything like that, that they get frustrated as hell because you think they're in some sort of distress and they're not. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, that's not my message. It didn't come across well. It was a bad connection. You know, it's like a cell phone. You know, it's like,
sure.
Oh, I thought I heard you say, you know, it's like, that's not at all what I said. But that can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder how often that's, you know, essentially a bad signal. That we run into that. Thanks for calling in and sharing those experiences with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Kristen from Ohio. I called in, or rather, I wrote in a few months ago about a sleep paralysis episode my sister and I both had on our family couch, where we saw a shadow figure. And I believe you played that one on your secret room episode, so I wanted to thank you guys for that. And I wanted to tell you about, I guess mine has more of a question with it than anything, but a few months back, I was having a series of nightmares, all featuring this same old woman who was haunting me, I feel like. Well, the one that sticks out to me the most is I was running through this, like, old abandoned hospital, and this woman, you know, is chasing me, laughing at me, you know, and I walk into this room, and I'm looking at myself, like, tied up to a post or a column, and I am either dead or, like, unconscious, and I'm on fire. And then this woman, her face is like laughing and evil, and she has black eyes, and she just gets closer and closer to my face laughing. And then I woke up in a panic. And like I said, I had a dream similar to this, not exactly that, for like a week straight with the same woman tormenting me. And a couple of times, I swear, when I woke up, I would still see the woman. And so, I thought that was freaky. But I don't know if that's just, like, me dreaming and overthinking it, or if, like, really you think if you're dreaming about the same woman over and over, is it a haunting then, or what? So I don't know. I guess I wanted your opinion on that. And then even more recent, I had an episode of sleep paralysis where I woke up in bed next to my boyfriend feeling just, like, really panicked. And I was trying to open my mouth and scream, and no words were coming out. Like, I just, like, kind of, I felt like I was making, like, a noise, but I couldn't make real sound. And I was trying everything to, like, try and wake my boyfriend up and, like, move my fingers and scratch at him to get him to wake up, because I didn't feel like I was alone in the room. And I didn't actually see anybody that time, but I was hearing voices, and all of a sudden, just, like, noises, like, you know, in scary movies, how, like, all of a sudden a ton of voices start happening really fast and they're getting louder and louder. And then all of a sudden I heard, like, do not open the door. And then I snapped awake and I was able, you know, to move. And, like, I was just, like, fully awake in the exact position that I had just been in, like, during sleep paralysis. So I guess my question is, do you think that some people are just prone to things happening to them in their sleep? And are these hauntings? Or is it just simply, you know, mental? Because I feel like every situation I've ever been in, it has happened, you know, either, like, in some kind of sleep, like my dream or the sleep paralysis, or on the couch, you know, seeing the shadow person. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Yeah, I guess that's it. Let me know what you guys think, and love your show, and thanks so much. Bye.
I kind of am suspicious when you have the same dream, or it just keeps picking up where it was every night for a week, that that's more than just a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like she's having the exact same thing happen. It's like it's different stages of what she's seeing.
It's like a series.
Uh-huh.
It's like a mini series going on there.
Yeah.
The mind can be very tricky. I think that it's difficult to say if it's a haunting or not, or really just you serializing an event that your brain is going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could very well just be that. Without things outside of the dream, I always stick by, no matter how real it may seem, very difficult to say. Haunting or not haunting.
You say that even with a dream that continues for night after night?
Yeah, unless there's some outside factor, outside thing that is going on, you know, in correspondence with it, that, you know, you could put into the realm of paranormal. I think it's far too difficult to say, you know, this is paranormal, this is not. And it's not that I'm saying it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it's very difficult to say yes or no.
Sure.
On it. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that. And it's not, like I said, it's not saying, no, this could not be paranormal. Mm-hmm. It very well could be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sometimes you need some more evidence beyond what the crazy shit our minds can do.
Right.
Is how I feel on that.
I think so too.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Megan in Oklahoma City. My story actually has to do with animals. Ever since I was little, I've had a very strong connection to animals. I can just kind of read them. I can tell which ones are more intelligent than others. So last year I was dating a guy whose family lived in West Virginia. We lived in Oklahoma City, and his dad passed away. And at the time he had about a year and a half, black lab. His mom didn't want to keep him because she already had two dogs and that was just too much for her to handle by herself. And so we got to keep him. We took him home with us and he was just a very smart dog. I mean, he's one of those dumb dogs that's really smart for his own, too smart for his own good. And so him and I had a very close connection. My depression is really bad over the winter, and I had a really bad winter last year. and he actually helped me to not commit suicide one night. He's just an amazing dog. He's so good at reading people. I mean, there was even one day that my boyfriend and I were standing in the kitchen, and we were just having a good, happy, light conversation, and the conversation turned to his dad. And as soon as we started talking about his dad, the dog looked up at us and he just started, you could see the sadness and the sorrow in his eyes. I mean, he knew exactly what we were talking about. We never said his dad's name. I mean, it was just amazing. And so when we broke up, that was about in February, it's July now. I didn't get to see him anymore. We kind of had sort of a dog custody battle. And on the 4th of July, I had gone about an hour south of Oklahoma City to see some friends' parents and just spend some time with them. And the whole day, I just felt exhausted. And come to find out, the dog had jumped the fence that night and got hit by a car and was killed. And about a week before this, I had come home from work really late one night. It was about 10 or 11 o'clock. And I believe it was the Saturday before the 4th of July, because that was on a Tuesday. I was talking to some neighbors, and this little dog just came and wandered over, and she looked kind of like a shepherd, sort of Rottweiler lab mix. And she came into my house. She followed me home to my apartment, and I just felt so bad for her. I let her in. She jumped up onto my bed. She didn't pee on anything, so I was like, okay, you can stay. And I kind of took a picture of her, and I was debating if I was going to be able to keep this dog or not. And so I realized that I didn't have any dog food for her, so I was going to go and get some. And as soon as I opened my apartment door, she just took off. And I think that those two things together were a sign from Snoop that he was going to be passing. And so that was not even a week ago, and I'm waiting for more signs from this dog, because he is just incredible. I don't think the paranormal is limited to just the human realm. So thank you for listening to my story. I love your guys' show, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
So my question is, can you have an empathic connection to something other than another human being?
I would think so.
Like an animal?
Yeah. They seem to have it to us.
Mm-hmm.
So why couldn't it be the other way around? I mean, there's so many animals I think that you would define as that.
Sure. I just didn't know if you could have that connection to the point where you feel their loss before you're aware of it.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think that, you know, I mean, depending on the individual. I know I feel like sometimes when I know Bear really wants a treat, I start salivating.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll even beat him to the begging strips and he gets kind of pissed.
Do you think he gets your heartburn?
Probably, judging by the throw up marks that we find in some parts of the house. I would say he probably gets it worse, because I think he barfs a little bit more than I do.
Yeah.
On a more frequent basis. So I don't know if that has to do with heartburn or hairballs. I don't get as many hairballs because I don't lick my chest hair as frequently as he licks his chest hair.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you know, you do. You get it. Some of that just comes off and it's kind of like...
Bear doesn't lick his chest hair.
It's kind of gets cut in there.
He doesn't puke up hairballs.
That ubula? Is that what that's called? The thing in the back of your thing?
Yeah. That's a big word.
I just came to it without even Googling. Just can't get it out. There's a pleasant thought for everyone. Tony licking his chest hair and then getting some of it caught on the ubula.
Uh-huh.
I think that was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, but it wasn't chest hair. Yeah.
Which, that show, by the way, is coming back very soon. I'm excited about it.
Good.
And you want me to stop that conversation?
Yes.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. Get access to all of our exclusive content. All the EPP bonus episodes that come out every single week. 150 some of those up there now. video content. And as you've seen this year, access to a lot of the stuff we're working on before it ever goes public. Like Dream Meetings have been up there and a lot of other stuff too. So check that out at ghostpodcast.com and help keep this ship afloat at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.